Dazzling white stars swirl on a dark background, forming the gold letters of the legend United Artists, an MGM company. An elegant chateau with a porticoed entrance and expansive grounds is shrouded in darkness. Lights emanate from a few of the balconied windows, throwing a glow over the classical vases and sculptures decorating the courtyard. A shadowy figure moves amongst the outhouses and picks its way to an archway in one of the chateau's wings.
Why must we meet in the shadows of Paris?
The figure, a middle-aged but dapper-looking man, suited and carrying a hat, looks about surreptitiously before disappearing in a doorway beneath the arch. A restricted view through the window shows him climbing a staircase, then removing his coat before disappearing up a corridor.
In the sunlight of Paris, where Paris...
Another man appears on the same floor, coming out from an adjoining apartment onto the staircase balcony. Wearing pajamas, slippers and a robe, the mustachioed man bends to pick up a bunch of flowers from the balcony, then retreats. The camera follows his progression down the stairs. He peers cautiously into the dark courtyard, before hurrying to an external iron staircase nearby. He climbs the winding stairway to a balcony and taps at the French window. A light glows and a woman up. An adjacent window shows another man escaping from the selfsame apartment. He tiptoes out into the corridor, descends the staircase, and creeps carefully into the courtyard. A basket of wine in one hand, two glasses in the other, this statuesque robed man shoots a cautious glance up at the window, before marching off past the iron staircase. He enters the same doorway as the suited man, and also disappears up the first floor corridor. The camera pans, and slippered feet appear at the top of the iron staircase as yet another robed man descends from an upper level. His handsome swarthy features are just visible in the half-light as he leans over the balcony. In the gardens below, a raven-haired young woman peeps from behind a topiary bush, then totters over the grass, her lacy negligee fluttering to the rhythm of her stride as she runs past the rose borders. Above the border, through another open window, a man awakes and rises from his bed, wearing only pajama down, and sneaks to the door, checking over his shoulder that he hasn't disturbed his bedfellow. The dark-haired man slides out from the apartment, fastening his robe. He looks furtively up and down the corridor, before bolting down another hallway. The dapper suited man appears on the staircase and picks his way stealthily along the same corridor, but is forced to dart into a doorway as the statuesque man with wine basket and glasses suddenly appears from another direction. The suited man, also carrying a wine bottle and glasses, tries to sneak out undetected, but has to take cover in the shadows once again as the statuesque man looks about before finally entering the apartment above the rose border. Once inside, he falls into the arms of a woman, kissing her passionately. The woman, who wears a flowing nightie and has bobbed mousy hair, stops him, checks the coast is clear, then closes the door. The suited man, at last able to emerge from his hiding place, sneaks into the apartment directly opposite. Once inside, he shouts into the gloom.
In the sunlight.
It disappears momentarily, then reappears, and he goes back into the hallway. A man and a woman are coming up the stairs. He jumps back in the apartment. The couple appear to be arguing. As they approach the apartment, the man pushes the blonde-haired woman towards the door. Dressed in a maid's uniform, she slaps his chest angrily before walking in. The man follows her in and slams the door. They grapple with one another before disappearing into another room. Meanwhile, another woman runs to the top of the staircase. It's the raven-haired woman from the gardens. She opens the door and steps in, her form masked by the doorway. Suddenly, four flashes accompany the sound of a gun firing. The screen goes black. A cartoon sequence provides the backdrop for the titles. A caricature of Inspector Clouseau appears in many guises, getting into all sorts of situations and scrapes. The Mersch Corporation presents a Blake Edwards production. As a bomb obliterates three villains in one, another sneaks across the screen and flicks a light switch. Two bulbs throw out shafts of light onto black letters. Peter Sellers, Elkie Summer. A Shot in the Dark. An arm appears out of a telephone receiver. The finger dials more credits on screen. Co-starring George Sanders, Herbert Lom. Clouseau answers and is shot in the head. He shoots back through the receiver. Featuring Tracy Reed, Graham Stark, Moira Redmond, Vonda Godsell, Morris Kaufman, Anne Lynn, David Lodge, Andre Moran, Martin Benson, Bert Kwok, Reginald Beckwith, Douglas Wilmer, and introducing Turk Thrust. A collection of stocking legs do the can-can. Clouseau hails a taxi. He steps in. The driver scoots off, but Clouseau's end stays put. The yellow taxi elongates over the screen. On its side, production designer Michael Stringer, film editors Ralphie Winters, Bert Bates. Clouseau sticks up a poster of a dastardly-looking crook, wanted dead or alive. The crook arrives and pastes over it. The new poster has evil eyes. Clouseau draws on a smile. The poster opens its new window. The screen goes black. Clouseau lights a match. He's standing in pots of paint. Colour by Deluxe. Filmed in Panavision. A Clouseau tiptoes over the screen looking furtively about. Clouseau has a twin. One does a tap dance, then turns into a gorilla. The other Clouseau falls to pieces. Doors pop up over the screen. Clouseau tries to answer them. A hand comes out from one and gives Clouseau a bomb. It explodes in a riot of flower petals. Music by Henry Mancini. Song, Shadows of Paris. Music, Henry Mancini. Lyrics, Robert Wells. A large handprint appears. Clouseau points a gun at it. Screenplay by Blake Edwards and William Peter Blatty. The hand fires back at him. A door opens, casting light onto a black screen, based upon the stage play by Harry Kernitz, from the play by Marcel Achard, produced on the stage by Lee. The word Shriek appears in large yellow letters from the door. Intrepid Clouseau comes running through it, pursued by a naked woman. Clouseau runs back, naked except for a barrel around his midriff. A gun appears and shoots the barrel away, leaving the cartoon character with nothing but a fig leaf. This is shot away too. Tiny parachutes float down by the character of Clouseau, supporting more credits. Produced and directed by Blake Edwards. A large yellow bird parachutes in and lays an egg. Clouseau inspects it. The egg explodes, covering him in yolk. At the police headquarters, Commissioner Dreyfus is at his desk.
Commissioner Dreyfus? Ah, yes, my darling. I was just about to call you. I'm on my way. I've got the cheese and the Beaujolais. What? My love, kiss the children for me. Huh? Oh, hold on. Yes?
Your wife is on the other line.
Tell her I'm out of town. Yes, my love. I'll be with you in 20 minutes.
Dreyfus rises to get his coat and hat. Assistant Francois enters.
Monsieur Dreyfus. Oh, monsieur. A catastrophe. We've just had a report of a shooting at the Chateau de la Pierre Blanche.
So?
Monsieur Ballon.
What, Ballon? The millionaire?
Yes.
Oh, that is a catastrophe.
Oh, no. I mean, it's not so much the shooting that is a catastrophe.
No?
No. You see, when the report came in, there were a few details. Just that someone had been shot and the address. I didn't until a few moments ago realize that it was the home of the millionaire Ballon. So, I made a terrible mistake.
Dreyfus stops in his tracks.
Who did you assign to the case?
Clouseau.
Oh, my God.
Jacques Clouseau arrives at Château de la Tire Blanche in a police car. He narrows his eyes inscrutably before stepping out and falling into an ornamental fountain. Inside the chateau, a butler, the statuesque-looking man from earlier, hall to the door and opens up, poker-faced, to Clouseau and his aide, Hercule Lejoy.
Inspector Clouseau.
Clouseau, drenched and dripping, steps in with Hercule.
What is your name?
My name is Henri Lafarge.
Make a note of that. You are the butler?
I am the head butler.
Head butler. Cross out butler and put down head butler.
Clouseau, walking off, stumbles down a step.
This is Monsieur Ballon.
Monsieur Ballon, it is a great honor.
A handshake.
Oh, excuse me. I am Inspector Clouseau of the Sûreté. I must apologize for my appearance. I had a slight accident.
Well, would you like a bathrobe or something?
Oh, no, nothing at all. It's just a little dampness. It will soon go. Monsieur Ballon, you reported a shooting.
No, I didn't. Maurice did.
Maurice?
Yes, he's guarding Maria.
Ah.
I was at the airport at the time the shooting occurred. I just arrived.
Of course. That will not be necessary. I shall have this case cleared up in a few seconds.
Would you like to examine the body?
I would be delighted.
As Monsieur Ballon watches Clouseau being led away by Henri the butler, his wife, the raven-haired woman in the lacy nightgown, comes down the main staircase. She stares. Henri leads Clouseau down a corridor to a room where another butler, another of the men from last night, awaits. He stares darkly at the inspector. Clouseau eyes him.
You are Maurice?
Yes, Monsieur.
A man's body lies face down on the floor. Clouseau kneels. He spots a small pistol near the head, which he scoops up using the end of his pen. He sniffs the barrel carefully.
Monsieur Ballon said you were guarding someone.
Yes, monsieur.
A young woman wearing a blue silk gown steps into the room. Her blue long-lashed eyes blink demurely, her pretty angelic face framed by a mop of blonde curly hair. Clouseau stares entranced as she edges around the corpse and sits coyly on the bed. He sniffs again at the gun.
This pen has been fired recently.
Mm-hmm.
And you are?
Maria Gambrelli.
He smiles.
I am Inspector Clouseau.
How do you do?
See what else we can find. What are you doing?
I'm taking the gun, Inspector.
This is my pistol pen.
I know it's your pen.
Get your own pistol pen, please. This is my own personal one.
Hercule grudgingly uses his own pen to take the gun.
Don't look in here. Look out.
Clouseau turns tersely on Maurice.
What did you say?
Nothing, monsieur.
All right, you
to Henri, who shoots a sideways glance at Maurice before stepping out, swiftly passing Clouseau's hat back to him.
No, I didn't.
Clouseau starts when he sees his hat. He hands it to Maurice, who takes the wet article.
Please. You found the body?
Yes, monsieur.
To Maria.
Is it a friend of yours?
Maria nods.
Have you any idea who killed him?
I've no idea.
She killed him. What?
That's not true.
She says it's not true.
She is lying.
You watch your tongue.
I heard four shots, monsieur.
Ah, you heard four shots.
Yes.
You did not see four.
Flicking pen ink.
I'm sorry. You did not see these four shots?
No, monsieur.
No, well, then you could not possibly know who fired those shots.
The door was locked, monsieur, from the inside.
So what does that prove?
When I broke it open, I found Miguel where you see him now and Maria with a gun in her hand.
With the gun in her hand?
Still smoking.
Did you have the gun in your hand?
She nods.
And was it still smoking?
I suppose so, but I don't know how it got there. I really don't.
Ridiculous.
I will decide what is ridiculous.
Monsieur, you surely don't believe...
I believe...
He turns haughtily.
And I believe nothing. I suspect everyone. And I suspect no one.
A pot of hand cream.
I gather the facts. Examine the clues. And before you know it, the case is solved. Oh, yes, there is much here that does not meet the eye. That is quite...
Seeing his reflection, he hastily wipes a blob of cream from the tip of his nose.
What is that you said?
Nothing, monsieur.
All right. You can go now.
Yes, monsieur.
But do not try to leave. Everyone in this household is under suspicion.
Yes, monsieur.
He goes, surreptitiously reuniting Clouseau with his hat. Clouseau slams it down and shuts the door. In the corridor, a man in a robe listens at the door.
Now, supposing you tell me what happened.
He was having difficulty with the buttons.
Buttons?
Buttons on my dress.
Well, you know that is very strange, because there are no buttons on this dress.
Well, that is because he was having difficulty with them. So he just tore the dress off.
He attacked you?
Oh, no. I would have helped him, but he couldn't wait. The buttons are probably all over the room. He was so impetuous. A passionate Spaniard, you know?
Intrigued, Clouseau sits by her on the bed.
And he tore your dress off, eh?
Yes. And then suddenly someone opened the door. And Miguel leapt up and... Well, that is the last I remember until Maurice came in and found me with a gun.
Clouseau sucks on his pen.
Yes. There is, if you'll excuse me, something here that I do not quite understand.
What don't you understand?
Clouseau swallows the ink.
I don't understand when you say that you don't remember.
Well, I guess I was unconscious.
Unconscious?
I have a bump.
Bump?
Yes.
Where? Oh, let me see.
He probes her forehead.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how it happened, but it is so painful.
Oh, that is beautiful perfume you're wearing.
It's bath oil.
Is it?
You know, I really can't figure it out. Someone must have hit me.
Yes. You have received a mild concussion with that bump.
You have cream on your nose.
What? Oh, it's nothing. It's on that thing over there.
You're all wet.
What? Oh,
is it raining?
No, it's just that stupid driver of mine parked too close to the fountain.
You should get out of these clothes immediately. You'll catch a death of pneumonia, you will.
Yes, I probably will, but it's all part of life's rich pageant, you know. We police have to put up with a lot of things in the course of our duties that in private life one wouldn't normally tolerate. Why don't we have a smoke? Helps to calm the nerves and enable us to think more clearly.
He puts the flaming lighter back in his coat pocket.
This lovely perfume you're wearing there.
That's not perfume, that's bath oil.
Oh, is it? Well, it's very beautiful.
Thank you.
Still smell it.
Smoke's rising.
Now, where were we?
My bump.
Bump, that's right. That you received when somebody hit you. Or at least we presume somebody hit you.
How else could it have happened?
Well, you see, in the police force, first we presume, after we find out. That is the way we work. Always work with them. Because if we work the other way, you see... Goodness, it's a bit stuffy in here.
Your coat!
Yes, it is my coat.
But it's on fire!
What? Oh! My coat is on fire!
He rips it off.
My goodness, I'm burning!
He jumps up and down on it by the open balcony windows. Dreyfus opens the door on him.
Clouseau! Ah!
He fell out of the window!
Clouseau is face down in the courtyard. He staggers to his feet.
Are you all right?
Oh, yes. I am perfectly all right, thank you.
In that case, you may go home.
Go home?
You are relieved.
Relieved?
I am taking charge. Good night, Clouseau.
Clouseau salutes weakly.
Good night, sir.
Clouseau slopes off along the darkened lawn. Hercule bending searches the shrubbery. The men bump. Startled, Clouseau chops at the air with his hands.
I'm sorry, Senator. You idiot, you fool! It's a good job I was able to check my reflexes. I might have killed you with a karate chop.
Hercule suddenly bends to pick something up. Clouseau falls over him.
You fool! Just for that, you're off the case.
Hercule and Clouseau trudge past the porticoed entrance and up to the police car. Which promptly drives off without them. Clouseau looks to the heavens in exasperation. In the chateau, the murder scene crawls with police. Maria is taken off for questioning. Dreyfus approaches Monsieur Ballon.
Monsieur Ballon?
Yes?
I'm Commissioner Dreyfus.
Where's Inspector Clouseau?
I'm personally taking charge of this investigation.
Oh, I see.
I promise that you and Madame Ballon will be inconvenienced as little as possible and that the Ballon name will not suffer the sensationalism of the press.
Yes, he was a strange fellow, but I rather liked him.
Huh?
I mean Clouseau.
Oh, yes, yes. He's an extraordinary man.
The rooftops of Paris, an attic window into Clouseau's apartment. Clouseau is tucked up in bed. A floorboard creaks and Clouseau... The bedroom door slowly opens. An oriental face peers into the gloom. Clouseau lies perfectly still as the man, dressed in black, creeps up to the bed. The man jumps the bed and throttles Clouseau. Clouseau grabs his assailant's throat, throws him off and jumps up, his arms raised and poised for karate chops. The man relaunches himself over the bed at Clouseau. A Clouseau karate chop sends him reeling. Clouseau squats martial arts style and the two men circle each other. The man lunges again. Clouseau attempts a shoulder throw, but he's thrown to the floor instead. Tumbling, Clouseau rolls against the bathroom door, which rebounds on his back. Clouseau rises. The two men stalk each other again. The man tries an overhead karate chop, but Clouseau grabs his arm and rolls him into a neck lock. The nearby phone rings.
Inspector Clouseau's residence. One moment, please. Commissioner Dreyfus.
A breathless Clouseau releases him and takes the phone. Dreyfus looks at his phone receiver, bemused.
Hello, Inspector Clouseau here.
Get down here immediately. You're back on the Gambrelli case.
The Gambrelli case?
Maria Gambrelli, the maid who killed the chauffeur.
Oh, Maria Gambrelli, the maid. Yes, yes, excellent. I'll be down there right away. Thank you. Well, Kato, I am back on the case. I tell you, Maria Gambrelli is beautiful.
He karate kicks Kato, knocking out the manservant.
By the way, Kato, that was a very good workout today. You're showing marked improvement. Every day you're getting...
Kato lies motionless. Clouseau kicks the door. It swings back into him.
Facts, Hercule. Facts. Nothing matters but the facts. Without them, the science of criminal investigation is nothing more than a guessing...
He tries to click his fingers.
You listen to me, Hercule, and you will learn something. Now then, the facts in this case are... The body of the chauffeur was found in the bedroom of the second maid. Fact. Cause of death? 4 bullets in the chest. Fact. The bullets were fired at close range from a .25 caliber Beretta automatic. Fact. Maria Gambrelli was discovered with the murder weapon in her hand. Fact. The murder weapon was registered in the name of the deceased, Miguel Ostos, and was kept, mark you, in the glove compartment of the Ballon Rolls-Royce. Fact. Now then, members of the household staff have testified that Miguel Ostos beat...
He swipes his pointer at Hercule.
Kappa, you fool, you've broken my pointing stick. I've got nothing to point with now. Have testified that Miguel Ostos beat Maria Gambrelli frequently. And now finally comes the sworn statement of Monsieur and Madame Ballon, as well as all the members of the staff, each of them with perfect alibis. Now then, Hercule... What is the inescapable conclusion?
Maria Gambrelli killed the chauffeur.
What? You idiot! Impossible! She's protecting someone.
How do you know that?
Instinct!
But the facts?
You are forgetting the most important fact. Motive.
He beat her.
He was Spanish.
He tore her dress off.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Would you kill somebody who tore your dress off?
No, I suppose not.
No, of course not. No, no. Well, there is no doubt in my mind whatsoever, Hercule. Maria Gambrelli is most definitely protecting somebody. Find that somebody, and you have found the murderer. And I shall find the murderer before the day is out. Maria Gambrelli will tell me who he is. Oh, yes. What was that you said?
Nothing.
I see. All right. Well, you can go, Hercule.
Hercule goes, shutting the door behind him. Clouseau busily rearranges the leather chair at the front of his desk, positioning it just so, thus improving the eyeline to his chair opposite. He then pulls the blind, plunging the office into darkness. He makes for the door, but trips over the chair. Dreyfus crops the end of his cigar with a miniature guillotine.
I don't understand. Why, in the name of heaven, did you reassign Clouseau to the Gambrelli case?
That is a good question, and it deserves an answer. But what I'm about to tell you must remain in the strictest confidence. This morning, at 6 o'clock, I received a phone call from a superior. I was informed that certain extremely influential parties were interested in having Clouseau back on the case. I had no choice but to comply.
Amazing.
If I were to divulge the identity of the caller, you'd realize how amazing it really is.
But why?
That's another good question, and for that, I have no answer. Ah, they're bringing in the Gambrelli woman.
From his window, Dreyfus spies Maria stepping from a police car. Meanwhile, Clouseau's rehearsing his meeting with Maria. He opens his cigarette case and leans nonchalantly against the blind.
Sit down, Miss Gambrelli.
The blind shoots up. Clouseau jumps, spraying his cigarettes about the room. He glances nervously at his watch, then paces outside and up the corridor. His back turned, he misses Hercule ushering Maria out of the room opposite and into his office. Clouseau's professional instincts are roused as the door they have just come out of catches. Immediately he goes to investigate. Hercule stands in the corridor watching as Clouseau bursts in, sees nothing, raises his brows quizzically back to his office. As he shuts his office door, he finally glimpses Hercule outside. In a double take, he reopens it, but Hercule's gone. Clouseau, spooking himself, jumps, at nothing, then regaining his composure, wanders back inside. Maria stands by the blackboard behind him. Oblivious to her presence, he adopts a rakish smile and starts to rehearse his introduction.
Sit down, Miss Gambrelli.
Clouseau flourishes his arm, then strides impatiently to the window. Maria sits. Clouseau turns dramatically to what he thinks is an empty chair.
Now,
his eyes widen in surprise.
Good morning, monsieur.
Oh, good morning, Miss Gambrelli.
Good morning.
You slept well?
No.
Wonderful.
It is not easy to sleep in prison.
It isn't? No, of course it isn't. No. Well, we shall have to do something about that, won't we?
Perching on his desk, he snaps a wooden tray. He picks up a slat of wood and hides it, embarrassed.
Stupid box. Yes, but anyway, first a few simple questions.
Is it all right if I smoke?
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Here's one of mine.
He opens the case.
Well... Have one of mine.
Oh, thank you. Very kind of you. Very, very kind of you.
It's all right.
He lights the wrong end.
Thank you. Other way.
Oh, it is very bad when you do that. Oh. Well, now. Are you comfortable?
They should have chairs like this in the prison.
Yes. Most certainly they should. As I recall, the furniture was deplorable, extremely bad taste.
It's terrible. One might as well sit on the floor.
Yes. It's really high time that somebody did something about it, don't you think?
Sure.
As a matter of fact, I will do something about it this very moment. Give me the prison superintendent immediately.
Yes, sir.
You know, sometimes it's necessary to cut through the red tape and strike directly at the heart of the matter. Prison is bad enough without uncomfortable furniture. Superintendent, this is Inspector Clouseau. When are you going to do something about that terrible furniture in your prison? Well, we are not savages. This is not the Middle Ages. I mean, you are running a house of correction, not a torture chamber. That made him think. Well, I suggest that you take the matter under serious consideration. I mean, if one is to cope with a modern criminal, it is necessary to use modern methods. I mean, you can't have a contemporary prison without contemporary furniture. Yes. Well, that's my opinion anyway. Oh, and the same to you, Superintendent.
act of this swine.
You're not at all like a policeman.
Your
dossier. He goes to a filing cabinet.
I always keep my important documents under lock and key, because one can never be too sure.
His keys are on a chain.
Now, here...
Walking away from the inserted key, he rips a hole in his trouser crotch.
Excuse me.
Maria stifles a giggle as Clouseau extracts the key from the cabinet, tangling her dossier in the chain as he tries to hide his naked thigh with the folder and sidle back to his chair. With no pocket, he pops the key down the hole in his trousers and sits grimacing.
Miss Gambrelli, your dossier contains some very, very interesting facts. It seems that you have known this Miguel Astos for quite some time.
Yes.
And were you in love with him?
Yes.
You were in love with the man that raped you?
That what?
Testimony of Georges Duval Gardner. Referring to Astos, you described him, and I quote, as that crazy Spaniard who raped me in my father's field.
He did not rape me.
He did not force you?
Well, you see, I tripped over a root, and I grabbed Miguel to keep me from falling. And somehow we both fell. I cried a little bit afterwards, but that wasn't because I was sorry it happened. It was something he said.
He insulted you?
Oh, no. He lit a cigarette and took a long puff and... Tell me, why do so many men smoke afterwards? No wonder tobacco companies get rich.
Stubbing his cigarette.
Yes, I must admit I'd never thought of it quite that way.
Last night. It was to be our last night. It was all finished.
You were leaving him?
Oh, no. He was leaving me. Poor Miguel. He was really in one of his moods last night. First he babbled in Spanish, and then he cried. You know, he really broke down and cried.
You don't say.
I do say. And then when I tried to console him, make him feel better, suddenly he was tearing off my clothes and cursing like a madman.
Frowning, Clouseau rises.
Very strange. Very strange. Something I don't understand. Astos was leaving you, and yet by your own account, he was behaving like a jealous
grabbing
man.
Grabbing his arm.
Well, you see, I thought if he was leaving me, he'd suffer, thinking that I was alone. And so I told him there was someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lie, I admit that. But only out of kindness.
She tucks his sleeve off.
I'm sorry.
Nothing at all. Stupid tailor.
Beautiful suit.
Yes, I know, but don't worry. I have a few stitches and you'll never know.
The intercom.
Miguel? Hercule?
Must I go back to prison?
Unfortunately, yes. But, don't give up hope.
Hercule bursts in.
What do you want?
You sent for me.
Of course I sent for you.
Maria rises.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, my darling. Miss Gambrelli.
Hercule throws Maria out. Clouseau throws his torn sleeve to the floor. His suit tattered, Clouseau wanders to the window and looks out. He stands by a huge revolving globe of the world. Hercule re-enters.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind she is shielding someone.
Do you think you can break her down?
Given enough time, I could have her eating out of my hand.
He spins the globe.
Yes, anyway, we have no time. I must catch this man before he leaves the country.
But if you don't know who he is?
She will lead me to him. Release her.
Release her?
Of course. How can she lead me to him if she's still in prison, you idiot?
But Commissioner Dreyfus...
I will assume complete responsibility. Release her immediately. I will apprehend this culprit within 24 hours. Get me out of here.
He's trapped his hand in the spinning globe. Hercule holds the base as Clouseau wrests it free.
Look, I've got Africa all over my hand now.
A balloon seller holding a clutch of brightly coloured balloons stands furtively by the entrance of the prison de la Petite Roquette. A sentry lets Maria out through the gate, and she walks free. The balloon seller turns to follow her, bouncing up and down as the balloons lift him from the pavement. It's Clouseau.
Yes, madame.
A gendarme comes up behind.
You have a license to sell...
Clouseau floats up.
License?
A black Mariah hurtles through the Parisian streets with a bunch of brightly coloured balloons tied to the back. Back at Chateau de la Tire Blanche, the mustachioed gardener clips away at a hedge just outside a drawing-room window. Inside, Monsieur Ballon appears to be in a heated discussion with his wife. As he works, the gardener watches over his shoulder. When he sees a storm out of the room, he goes and taps on the French window. Ballon opens up. The gardener raises his brows and stares at him.
Yes? Good morning, monsieur.
Good morning, George. Is there something I can do for you?
Why, yes. And perhaps there's something I can do for you.
What could you possibly do for me?
Do you remember the night of the murder?
Is that a rhetorical question?
What?
Now, come along, George. What is it you want?
I saw you climbing down from Maria's room.
You have sharp eyes.
Yes. And a big stomach. So hard to keep it filled, prices these days.
Are we going to discuss the national economy, or will you presently come to the point?
The point is 100,000 francs. You know, for the groceries. And then perhaps my eyes will grow small again.
Yes, well, we'll certainly have to do something about your stomach.
Later, Maria, carrying a wicker basket, trots down a stone staircase into the chateau courtyard and makes her way to an ornate greenhouse. Clouseau emerges from a courtyard garage and watches her from behind a wall. Suddenly, a dog barks behind him. His eyes widen with fear. His cover blown, he flees towards the greenhouse, hotly pursued by a collie. Clouseau twists and jumps about in the dirt as the dog nips at his heels. Kicking the dog away, he manages to get into the greenhouse. Inside, Maria stands stiffly, eyes wide, mouth open.
Oh, excuse me, I just happened to be passing and I...
Clouseau opens his arms to her. She holds up shears.
You have been cutting flowers. Well, you must have been cutting something. There's blood all over your cutting shears. It was very strange.
She looks down at a pair of legs poking out from a bush. Back in front of his blackboard...
Hercule, facts. Behind them lies the whole fabric of deductive truth. Now, Hercule, let us examine these facts. One, she was found with the murder weapon in her hand. Two, the murder weapon was fresh with blood. Three, there were no fingerprints on the murder weapon other than hers. And four, all the members of the Ballon household staff have perfect alibis. Now then, Hercule, what do these facts add up to?
Maria Gambrelli killed Georges the gardener.
You are an idiot. Only a fresh-faced novice would come up with a conclusion like that.
But the facts...
Listen, whoever killed Miguel killed Georges the gardener. And he did it to cover up the first crime. Now what he's trying to do is lay the blame at the foot of this poor servant girl.
Well, who do you suspect?
I suspect everyone.
I suppose that is possible.
Possible? What do you mean, possible? I deal in certainties. I have only to break her down, make her admit she's protecting somebody, and then force her to divulge his identity. There can be no more cat and mouse. No more subtle interrogation. Oh. For her own sake, and for the sake of justice, I will resort to any means short of brute force to drag it out of her, Hercule. True, she will suffer. But in the end, she will be free. And we will have our killer.
Dreyfus.
You released her again?
Yes, sir.
Dreyfus's left eye twitches uncontrollably. The prison gates. Maria walks free once more, pausing briefly to admire the talent of a kneeling pavement artist. As she walks on, the Toulouse-Lautrec look-alike, complete with bushy beard, red neckerchief and wire-rimmed glasses, lifts his head to watch. It's Clouseau in a cunning disguise. A gendarme appears at his side, tapping a baton in his hands. The Black Maria hurtles through the streets, Clouseau's face pressed against the back window. Night, and Ballon's playing billiards. Madame Ballon intercepts the cue ball.
Well, shall we settle this thing now, or do you intend making me late for the recital?
Look, we can't just fire her. She has given us no cause.
Cause? We are up to our necks in dead bodies. What are you waiting for, the last act of Hamlet?
If you're going to compare the Ballon household with a Shakespearean tragedy, I suggest that Macbeth would be more appropriate. My darling, my cue ball.
She tosses it back onto the table and breezes out. Clouseau pulls up outside the chateau's portico in his mini. He steps out. Steadfastly avoiding the fountain, he makes his way to the entrance. Suddenly a white Jaguar E-Type speeds out of the grounds, forcing Clouseau to run out of the way.
That was Madame Ballon. Follow her. When you have discovered her destination, call me immediately.
In the billiard room, Ballon's making a shot.
Inspector Clouseau.
He misses as the inspector steps in.
Good evening, Monsieur Ballon.
Good evening, Inspector.
If you don't mind, there are one or two questions I would like to ask.
Of course.
Some points that need clearing up.
And certainly. And you play billiards, by any chance?
Billiards? Oh, well, yes, I have played some billiards in my time.
I find that it makes for a more relaxed and friendly conversation. How about you?
Yes.
Oh, take a cue.
Cue, yes.
He plucks one from the many on the round cue rack.
That will do.
He attempts to hit a red ball. The gapped bridge cue he has picked glides right over it.
I think you'd be better off in an ordinary cue. That's what we call a bridge.
Ah, the bridge cue, yes. Yes, I much prefer the good old-fashioned plain cue, you know. Yes, yes.
It snaps.
Oh, I'm most terribly sorry. I'm dreadfully sorry.
Oh, well, that's all right. I've broken a few in my time. Try this one. This is my...
Ballon hands him a bent one.
You'll find that it's great for curved shots.
Clouseau examines the warped cue. Maria, in her maid's uniform, tiptoes surreptitiously from the hall through the ornate lounge and puts her ear to the billiard room door. Butler Henri appears in the lounge doorway, observing her. Ballon takes a shot.
You had some questions, Inspector.
Yes. I had rather hoped to have a talk with your wife.
Well, she's out. You just missed her.
On the contrary, she just missed me in the driveway going up.
A shot ricochets off of Clouseau's fingers. Maria is watched by three other servants. Clouseau attempts a shot with the curved cue.
Monsieur Ballon, did you not state...
The cue-tip shoots over the ball.
And again. On the night of the murder, you had just arrived from London on the 11 o'clock flight.
Ballon catches the ball.
Yes, why do you ask?
It was cancelled due to bad weather.
Ballon turns.
I arrived on an earlier flight.
I put it to you directly, Monsieur Ballon, that it was you who murdered me.
Ballon hooks his cue around Clouseau's.
Don't be ridiculous.
They struggle to free the entwined cues.
Look, if you can just move that setup. These curved cues can be difficult.
The men end up in a Chinese puzzle. Ballon tugs his cue free.
I disliked Miguel intensely. But I'm not in the habit of killing people merely because I dislike them.
Maria is still listening.
As long as you know about the cancelled flight, I may as well tell you the whole thing. The night that Miguel was killed, I arranged for him to meet the 11 o'clock plane. I arrived on the 9 o'clock. Now, he would be on his way to the airport while I was on my way home. My wife was at a dinner party. This would give me a whole hour, at least, alone in the house.
For what?
Ballon aims his cue.
For Maria.
Outside, Maria gasps.
What?
Does that surprise you?
The servants watching Maria scoot off. Henri hides behind a pot plant as she flees into the hall.
Then I submit, Inspector Ballon, that you arrived home, found Miguel with Maria Gambrelli, and killed him in a writ of felis jage.
I admit to the affair, but to kill for her. Would you kill for her?
Of course. Not.
Well, it's still your shot.
Yes,
Tapping the cue nervously, he leans over the table and lines up the bent cue, the end pointing upwards as before. Then, with a cunning glint in his eye, he turns it round so the tip points downwards and takes his shot. Ballon stares unmoved as Clouseau desperately tries to patch up the torn baize.
I'm dreadfully sorry, Monsieur Ballon. I appear to have grazed your billiard table.
Butler Marie centres.
Telephone, monsieur, for Inspector Clouseau.
Ah, that would be for me.
Maurice hands Clouseau the phone receiver, then retires.
Yes, this is Inspector Clouseau.
Outside, the tail-coated butler tweaks his cuffs and jacket, then hot-foots it to the lounge phone and listens in.
All right, you stay there. I will come over immediately. Monsieur Ballon, I wonder if you could oblige. I have to meet my assistant, and I am without a car.
Oh, well, I'll have Pierre drive you.
Excellent.
Well, I suppose this is the end of our game. Do you mind putting my cue away?
Taking the cue, Clouseau attempts to rest it in the circular rag.
Have Pierre bring the car.
Ballon watches Clouseau desperately hugging onto the collapsing rag, trying to catch the cues as they topple. Eventually, rack and inspector tumble to the cue-strewn floor. An embarrassed Clouseau tries to rectify the mess as Maurice enters.
The car is ready, monsieur.
I'm dreadfully sorry, monsieur Ballon.
Oh, please don't concern yourself, inspector. Maurice will do it for you.
The butler grabs the rack, but Clouseau won't let go. The men grapple with it. The rack falls and Clouseau's feet get hopelessly caught in the melange of cues.
Thank you, monsieur. Tell you, Monsieur Ballon, whoever invented that rack should have his head examined. Yes. Well, we will continue at another time.
A pleasure at any time.
Clouseau walks into the wall.
I suggest you have your architect investigated as well.
Clouseau walks out. A sleek black car arrives outside an urban apartment block. Clouseau steps out. Hercule is waiting for him.
Madame Ballon is in apartment 12, second floor.
You stay here. If I'm not out within 10 minutes, send reinforcements.
Clouseau strides purposefully towards the building. Hercule, taking refuge in a doorway, checks his watch. Inside, Clouseau steps out of a lift into a red-carpeted corridor. Turning the collar up on his Mac, he makes his way to apartment 12 and rings the bell. Inside at the recital, guests watch rapt as a ball-gowned singer hits a high note. Clouseau runs full pelt at the door. It opens. He careers past singer and audience and drops out of the opposite window. Into the canal. Daytime, the bush-covered lawns of Château de la Tire Blanche. Clouseau, thinly disguised as a hunter, hops with his rifle from bush to shrub in an attempt to get a closer view of the chateau. Arriving behind a tree, he takes up his binoculars. Through the lenses, he sees Ballon coming out of the chateau and stepping into a chauffeur-driven limousine. Clouseau shoots an irritated look up at the noisy crow in the branch above. He squints at the chateau, aware of more goings-on. Through the binoculars, he sees one of the maids now amber into an awaiting taxi. He lowers the glasses, staring thoughtfully. He scowls back up at the loquacious bird, then picks a rock up from the ground and chucks it. Then resumes his vigil. Bird droppings splatter his hat. Clouseau removes it, jaw clenched. In the courtyard, Hercule secretly observes Madame Ballon strolling to her car. They look in the direction of the gardens. Feathers flutter around the crouching Clouseau as he picks up the corpse of the dead crow. A similarly attired figure stands beside him, also with a rifle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm the game warden. Do you have a hunting license?
Hunting license?
The Black Maria speeds through the Parisian streets, the dead crow dangling on the back door. In his office, Dreyfus chops a cigar end with his guillotine.
He was shooting crows?
He was disguised as a hunter in order to watch the Bano house.
Dreyfus sits, his eye twitching.
Give me 10 men like Clouseau, and I could destroy the world. Where is he now?
I don't know. After I got his release, he got a phone call. He ran out of his office saying he had an important lead that would crack the case.
This case is already so full of cracks, I guess one more won't make any difference.
The cigar breaks under his fidgeting fingers. He picks up another, puts it in the guillotine, and slams the blade.
François?
Yes, Commissioner?
I just cut off my thumb.
He winks erratically. Clouseau's mini rounds a country lane, nearly knocking over a cyclist. He pulls up by Hercule's car, which is parked in a forest clearing, and clambers out.
Now then, you say you followed Maria Gambrelli to this godforsaken place?
She took a taxi this far, then I followed her up the pathway to the entrance to Camp Sunshine.
Camp Sunshine?
Yes. I would have called you, but then I perceived Dudu the maid also enter the camp.
Up the path, you say?
Yes, but Inspector...
Look, you return to the Ballon residence and look for more clues. I will try to see what is afoot at this Camp Sunshine.
Inspector, I think that's...
Hurry up, man. There's not a second to lose.
Clouseau pats Hercule and strides off. The policeman shrugs to himself and wanders to his car. Meanwhile, Clouseau enters the gate of Camp Sunshine. The carved wooden sign over the gate reads, "The Garden of Health and Happiness." He walks up a sandy path to a large log cabin reception. Stepping inside, a man's head pokes up from behind the reception desk. The elfin-faced man, smoking a pipe, rises, revealing his hairy, bare torso.
Good afternoon.
I am Inspector Clouseau of the Sûreté. Tell me, have you anyone registered here by the name of Maria Gambrelli?
Gambrelli? Yes, I believe she checked in about an hour ago. Yes, Gambrelli, 11:45.
Where can I find her?
Well, she could be most anywhere, but my guess would be the recreation area.
Thank you.
Clouseau moves off, but turns perplexed.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Have you been swimming?
Why, yes. How did you know?
It is my business to know.
Clouseau's eyes widen as he stares at the naked receptionist. Moving to another room, he comes across a man playing a guitar. He's also naked.
And where do you think you're going?
I do not think, sir. I know where I am going. I am going to the recreation area.
Not like that, you're not.
What was that you said?
I said you're not going to the recreation area like that.
I am Inspector Clouseau of the Sûreté.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Turk.
I am here on official business, and I am looking for someone at the recreation area.
Not unless you take off your clothes.
You, sir, are under arrest.
Arrest? What for?
For making lewd and suggestive remarks to an official of the French government.
Lewd and suggestive remarks?
Also for indecent exposure. Doesn't anyone wear any clothes around here?
No.
What? This is a nudist colony.
Clouseau jumps back.
A nudist colony?
Right. And nobody gets in unless they take their clothes off.
What, all of them?
All of them. Right down to your moustache.
Clouseau sighs deeply, shutting his eyes. Later, his head pokes round the changing area door, his eyes flicking nervously, so he sidesteps out, naked, save for the borrowed guitar, which is positioned neatly over his nether regions. Stiffly, he walks into the camp grounds. A nude band is in full swing, playing amongst the rocks of the recreation area, instruments, music stands and boulders placed just right to cover their private parts. Emerging from a clump of rocks and sidling awkwardly behind the band, Clouseau strums feebly at his guitar, a fixed grin on his face as he stares at the throng of naked revellers dancing and chatting before him. In a desperate bid to blend, he jigs up and down before disappearing behind a leafy laurel bush. Just visible through the undergrowth, Clouseau comes to a sandbank that leads down to a secluded lakeside bathing area. He sits on his bottom and slides himself down the white sand. At the bottom, Clouseau finds an inflatable Lilo. He grabs it up and, holding it like a screen, wanders amongst the nudists, who are dotted about, some sunbathing amongst the rocks, trees and clumps of grass, others on deck chairs or under parasols, as he nods at them politely. As he shuffles along the sandy bank, Clouseau sandwiches himself between his props, the guitar covering his manhood, the Lilo shielding his bottom. He shuffles past a couple playing with a beach ball at the water's edge, and stops, staring transfixed, as if suddenly overwhelmed by the unashamed nudity. A man sitting on the bank glares, startling Clouseau from his reverie. Clouseau gives an embarrassed nod and a smile, before overbalancing, sending a jet of cold water over the man. A bedraggled woman surfaces from the lake and angrily splashes Clouseau before swimming off. Meanwhile, two police cars hurtle through the gates of Sunshine Camp. Dreyfus and Francois step out and, with a group of gendarmes, march inside, confronting the receptionist.
Are you the one who called the police?
Aye.
Someone called from this camp and reported a murder.
Murder?
Tell the men to spread out and search the camp.
But one of your men is already in the camp.
One of my men?
Yes. Inspector Clouseau.
I'm so sorry, I can't understand.
Murder!
After kicking the reception desk and slapping Francois and the receptionist, Dreyfus, his thumb heavily bandaged, twitches uncontrollably and marches off towards the camp. Now, with just the guitar protecting his modesty, Clouseau wanders about a secluded Italian-style garden. A hedged garden is a statue surrounded by stone benches, one of which is occupied by a naked woman sitting with her head slumped over her knees. Clouseau perches tentatively beside her.
Beg your pardon?
The voice is coming from the hedge. Clouseau rises to see Maria beckoning him from the other side of the hedge. He makes his way round to her. Clouseau gapes wordlessly at the naked Maria.
Listen, that's Dudu.
Dudu?
She's dead.
Dead? Dudu?
Clouseau, overawed, collapses backwards. Dreyfus and his officers swarm into the recreation area, sending the party of nudists scattering. Two gendarmes hurtling down the sandbank are unable to stop themselves careering into the lake.
Come on! Out! Round up, everyone! Get me that idiot!
Yes, if you can find him.
Straight away, sir. Dreyfus looks skyward.
If someone has been murdered here, please let it be Clouseau,
Dreyfus's eye winks spasmodically. Clouseau and Maria peer from either side of a tree towards the changing area, now guarded by a gendarme.
What are we going to do?
We must do something. We can't leave here without our clothes.
I'm getting cold. Just look at those goose pimples.
In the Italian garden, Dreyfus crouches beside the body of Dudu. He rises, his good eye staring about maniacally. Maria, her nudity shielded by Clouseau, and Clouseau's by the guitar, sneaks through the lakeside undergrowth towards his mini, which is parked beside a large boulder. From behind the rock, Clouseau reaches out and opens up the driver's door, thus providing a perfect barrier between rock and vehicle, and enabling the escapees to clamber in unseen. Safely in, Clouseau speeds off, forcing a cyclist to swerve into the lake. Inside the mini.
I know how you feel.
I'm having a bad dream. It's a nightmare.
Believe me, it's nothing to what would have happened if they'd caught us.
What do we do now?
Well, you keep down and then they can only see the top half of me. Perhaps they will think that I've just come from the beach, from a swim, you know, and...
We can't just keep driving around.
No, no.
Please?
No, no, that's right. I will take us to my apartment and somehow I will try to get us inside. But please, whatever happens...
Later, Monsieur Ballon shows Dreyfus and Francois down a corridor of the chateau.
I can assure you she's not in the house.
I'm sorry, Monsieur Ballon, but it is necessary that I see for myself.
They enter the apartment where the first murder took place. Dreyfus quickly searches an adjoining room.
She has not been in the house all day.
All I can tell you is that she left before I did this morning, and she wasn't here when I got back an hour ago.
Dreyfus looks out a window.
Henri can verify that.
Henri?
The head butler.
I'd like to talk to Henri.
Dreyfus opens a cupboard, and Henri's body falls into his arms.
Well, he could have verified it.
Meanwhile, Clouseau's mini zooms down a Parisian road, and down through an underpass. Clouseau and Maria sit wordlessly in the front. Turning red, a set of city traffic lights stop the mini at a junction. Maria shifts awkwardly. Clouseau, embarrassed, consults his watch. Suddenly, a crowded bus pulls alongside, affording the amused passengers a bird's-eye view of the mini's nude occupants. Maria sink low into their seats. Eventually, the lights change, and the mini pulls away.
Only a few more blocks now.
I feel like I'm losing my mind. I think I'm going to start screaming and I won't be able to stop.
Please, try to hold on to yourself.
Rounding a corner, the mini is stopped by an oncoming taxi. A traffic policeman waves Clouseau to reverse, but cars behind block the manoeuvre. An oncoming vehicle bars the way forward. Another pulls up at the side. The bare occupants watch helplessly as the mini is completely barricaded in. Maria, unable to control her growing hysteria, bites Clouseau's hairy shoulder. As cars and onlookers crowd the mini, Clouseau and Maria scream hysterically. The Black Maria hurtles through the streets with three gendarmes hanging onto the back, staring through the window. Later at the station...
You are off the Gambrelli case. You will report for duty to the Department of Records.
Department of Records?
In Martinique.
What?
Tomorrow morning, or you can forget your pension.
But that is not fair. I was only doing my duty. And I am right, you will see. Maria Gambrelli is not a murderer.
I can hope.
There is something personal in this.
Yes. Deeply personal.
I hate you. Every little bit of you.
Now get out!
Staring, Dreyfus wields a letter opener at him. Clouseau retreats as Francois enters.
You are making a terrible mistake. If Maria Gambrelli is not a murderer and I say she is not, you are sending an innocent girl to the guillotine.
Clouseau points wildly at Dreyfus.
Excuse me, Francois.
Francois shuts the door.
And another thing!
Clouseau's outstretched finger smashes the door's window. He salutes through the hole, then beats a retreat. Dreyfus stares darkly after him.
Martinique. He's on his way.
Dreyfus slumps in his chair.
What about those influential parties that wanted Clouseau on the case?
Whatever they do to me now, it is not half of what he has done already. Besides, I feel certain I know who is behind those influential requests. Ballon.
Ballon?
It's obvious he was having an affair with Maria Gambrelli.
Most likely.
At first, I couldn't understand why anyone would want a man like Clouseau to be in charge of a murder case, especially a case of this importance.
But why with Ballon?
He wouldn't. Unless he was protecting someone. Now, if you were protecting someone, who would be the perfect man on the case? A fool. A detective who is a complete and utter fool.
Clouseau?
Of course. If Maria Gambrelli is convicted, Ballon is up to his ears in a very nasty scandal. And Clouseau was his insurance policy against such a scandal. Well, he has gone.
Dreyfus opens the window and stares out.
I feel like a child again. It's an interesting theory, but what if you are
Dreyfus
wrong?
Dreyfus turns on Francois.
I know it's an extremely remote possibility, but what if you are wrong and Ballon is not protecting Maria Gambrelli? What if she's innocent, as Clouseau claims?
Ridiculous.
But a possibility. What if Ballon is protecting someone else? Or what if Ballon himself is the guilty party?
It's a sadistic thing to suggest.
But if only for the sake of discussion, what if you are wrong and Clouseau, a fool, a complete and utter fool...
I'd be ruined.
It's something to consider.
Pacing, Dreyfus fiddles with the sharp letter opener, then lifts his arms briskly.
Francois?
Yes, Commissioner?
Would you please call for a doctor?
Are you ill?
I seem to have stabbed myself with a letter opener.
Trefus lifts his arm, inspecting his armpit. In his apartment, Clouseau contemplates his reflection in a long mirror. He wears a shirt and tie, a gendarme's cap with kepi attached. Then, busying himself over a packing case on his bed, Clouseau does not notice the bedroom door opening and Cato creeping up on him.
Cato, you fool, get off of me, will you? Get off of me! Get off! Are you dying? Not now!
In an orgy of grappling, the men throw one another to the floor. With his feet, Cato clamps Clouseau's shoulder.
Cato! Release me, you fool!
Cato jumps up.
Inspector Clouseau's residence.
In a telephone, you idiot. Inspector Clouseau here?
This is the commissioner. You are back on the Gambrella case.
Dreyfus's armpit is being bandaged.
Well, Cato, I'm back on the case.
A chop to the neck sends Cato reeling.
Now to set the trap, catch the killer, and prove to the world that Maria Gambrelli is innocent of murder. Hello, this is Inspector Clouseau. Connect me with my assistant immediately, will you? You know, I'm ashamed of myself, Cato. I forgot the first rule of self-defense. No matter what the circumstances, always anticipate the unexpected. Had you been a real assassin, you might have killed me. We're going to have to accelerate our training program. You must learn to attack me whenever and wherever I least expect it. And you must give no quarter. Understand? Hello, Hercule. This is Clouseau. I am back on the case. Right. Release Maria Gambrelli at once and make a reservation for two tonight, 8 o'clock at the Caviolet. Right. Bye-bye. Cato, unpack my things and lay out my new blue suit. I'm going to have a lovely hot soak in a nice warm bath, and I will plan out my strategy.
Clouseau breezes into the bathroom. Cato, looking slightly concussed and rubbing his injured neck, starts to unpack Clouseau's case. He takes a pair of trousers to Clouseau's closet and hangs them up. Cato goes back to the case and then stops his work, giving an evil look towards the open bathroom door. Suddenly, he sprints towards it and jumps through into the bathroom. Dreyfus is lying on his analyst's couch, a handkerchief over his face.
He released her again. And he's taking her out to dinner. Every paper in Paris has the story. Including the Christian Science Monitor. And he gave them the story. You see, he claims she's protecting her lover. And the best way to force him into the open is to make him jealous. Jealous. That nincompoop, that megalomaniac. He's setting the science of criminal investigation back 1,000 years. And I can't do anything about it. Why not? Why not? What if he's right? What if he is? I'm finished, washed up. Sanity and reason become things of the past. Madness reigns.
Just relax.
Relax? With Clouseau loose in the world? You go about offering irresponsible suggestions like that, Doctor, and you better find yourself a good analyst.
Now, just lie down.
Just lie down.
And relax.
Relax. Don't you think I want to relax? Don't you think I'd give my right arm for a good night's sleep? I haven't closed my eyes in 3 days. I've only eaten a chicken leg and some clear broth since Wednesday. Yes, I'm cracking up. I'm coming apart at the seams. And look at my eye. I used to have a perfectly good eye. My two eyes, I mean. No, Doctor, there is no hope. There is no hope unless I can get rid of Clouseau. I must get rid of Clouseau.
Soft stage lighting illuminates the face of a man playing a Spanish guitar. Behind him is a white lace backdrop and an unlit male dancer adopting a pose. A light illuminates the dancer. He's dressed in skin-tight black trousers and a frilly black shirt. Clapping his hands above his head, he proudly twists, turns and stamps his feet about the circular stage of Café Olay. A semicircular dining area surrounds the stage, comprising of benches and candlelit tables, all decorated in a rich, fiery red. Sitting along the benches, patrons are eating whilst watching the performance. The dancer spins to face the lace curtain, then struts like a bird performing a mating dance, clicking his fingers and moving his arms in elegant precision, wooing three female dancers onto the stage. Wearing black and white flamenco dresses and clicking castanets high above their heads, the ladies move on in a line, kicking their layered skirts into the air. Clouseau and Maria sit side by side watching the dancers. They exchange an excited smile. Maria looks back at the dancers rapt as Clouseau stares lovingly at her. A black, gloved hand appears round a scarlet curtain and stubs out the candle on a nearby table, darkening the immediate area. The three female dancers turn on the spot, stamping their feet. In unison, they zigzag to the back of the stage, and the male dancer prances up to take the spotlight. The male dancer begins to tap and brush the heel and toes of his boots onto the wooden floor. Gradually, the dancer's intricate footwork grows faster as he moves fleetly about the stage. The gloved hand reappears from behind the curtain, this time pointing a gun, a silencer fixed on its end. The dancer, hands on hips, taps away. The dancer's feet begin to slow, making small pigeon steps across the stage. The gun disappears back behind the curtain. One of the lipsticked female dancers mumbles under her breath as she watches her male colleague slowly circling the stage. The gun reappears as the dancer speeds his pounding feet. Clouseau and Maria raise their champagne glasses in a toast, chinking them together. As they touch, the gloved hand pulls the trigger. The glasses shatter and the man at the next door table slumps forward. Maria and Clouseau stare at the remaining glass stems and break into oblivious laughter. Meanwhile, the dancers reach the climax of their routine. Later, Clouseau and Maria are shown out of Café au Lait and into a taxi by a doorman. In the shadows, a silhouetted figure raises a knife and throws it just as the couple clamber in. As the taxi pulls away, the blue-suited doorman falls to the ground, the knife embedded in his back. Flaming torches edge the stage of a Hawaiian-themed club. A grass-skirted hula-hula dancer with flowing black hair and lei garlands performs a solo routine, wiggling her hips and shaking her bottom. Maria and Clouseau sit together in a raised balcony, sucking on long straws that protrude from a pineapple on their table. Nearby the stage, the gloved hand appears at a bamboo gate, gripping one of the bars. As the dancer finishes, a long wooden tube is pushed out through the gloved fingers. As the audience break into applause, a man in front of Clouseau's balcony rises. The man looks down at the dart, which has pierced his white shirt. Maria and Clouseau don't notice the man slumping. A Russian club. A tall vodka glass is on the edge of a dance floor, where a Cossack dancer in a red shirt, blue pantaloons, black boots and a white fur hat performs. The audience, including an enthusiastic Clouseau and Maria, circle round him as he grabs the glass and drinks. The dancer triumphantly salutes the audience with the empty glass, then tosses it to the barman, who immediately refills it with vodka. The gloved hand appears at the side of the bar, stubbing out a cigarette. The dancer invites Maria to join him center stage. She skips on, kicking her blue high-heel shoes into the audience. The Cossack supports her from behind as she tries to do crouching kicks. Then she slides forward on her knees and glugs back the glass of vodka. She throws the empty glass back to the barman, which he promptly replenishes. Maria returns to Clouseau laughing happily, flinging her arms about his neck. The Cossack dancer grabs Clouseau and tries to pull him forward. Clouseau protests vehemently, but Maria, jumping with glee, pleads with him to go, planting a kiss on his lips. With the barman's back turned, the gloved hand drops a tablet into the vodka. Clouseau salutes the audience, then folds his arms dramatically and drops to the floor. He feels the split seat as he sits on the floor. Maria rushes to his assistance and helps him up by covering his backside with the pleats of her flowing skirt. Standing behind Clouseau, Maria wraps her skirt around his waist, hiding his predicament. He smiles and laughs with the audience, as if nothing was up. Clouseau and Maria march off stiffly like a four-legged animal, pausing briefly to grab up Maria's shoes, smiling and nodding awkwardly as the audience clap them out of the club. In the arena, the Cossack dancer picks up the glass, shrugs, knocks back the spiked drink, and tosses it away. Showing off, he begins to spin on one leg, turning faster and faster. Suddenly, his eyes boggle and he falls backwards. On the stairs to Clouseau's apartment...
I'm not going to let you look at me going up the stairs, you know.
He rushes to the door, covering his behind.
No, I'm just unlocking the door.
No, I just set up the plans so you could lure him into this apartment of yours.
Well, this is my apartment.
I know this is your apartment.
How about a little lure?
Nothing lure. You lure, lure.
Oh, lure, 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 lure.
Do you know?
What?
I know this is your apartment, and but that won't help you in the least bit.
Why won't that help me in the least bit?
Question.
Question.
Question? Answer.
Yeah.
Mr. Police Inspector.
Jacques Clouseau is the name.
I've given up sex.
Oh. Quel brutto momento.
I've given up sex.
They fall into the apartment together. A torchlight scanning a wall illuminates a nameplate. A gloved finger traces along the words, J. Clouseau, Apartment 4, First Floor. Inside his apartment, Clouseau and Maria share a passionate kiss.
Promise me.
What, darling?
Afterwards, you will not smoke, hmm?
I give you my word as an officer and a gentleman. Also a policeman.
Policeman? Zach?
Yes, darling.
Carry me.
He lifts her into his arms.
Jack?
Yes, my darling.
I swear I'd never... Oh. Sorry, Jack, I swear I'd never do it again.
He bangs her head on a narrow staircase on the way up to his bedroom. Maria flops drunkenly in his arms.
We all pay for our sins.
Could you open the door, my darling?
Yes.
Anything worth waiting for as well?
Clouseau staggers backwards underneath her weight. Then lurches forward into his room, plonking her down onto his bed.
My darling, my dear.
Maria clamps her arms about Clouseau's neck as he fumbles for her zip. The gloved hand places a package outside the apartment door, then rings the buzzer.
Jack?
What, darling?
Maybe somebody important, Jack.
Oh, darling, listen, what could be more important than this?
Jack, look what you're doing. Look at my sleeve.
It's all right, darling.
Jack,
it looks better that way.
Darling, go to the door.
Probably. Don't go away.
Important.
Yeah, don't go away.
Darling?
What?
Harry?
Harry.
Clouseau limps out of the bedroom, his white underpants clearly visible through the rip in his trousers. He makes his way to the door, opens up and looks about the hallway. He's just about to shut the door when he notices the package on the floor. He picks up the parcel, undoes the string, and starts to unwrap it. He pulls a large ornamental clock out from the package and peers quizzically at it.
Darling!
Coming, my lovely little darling.
He puts the ticking clock on his table, then rushes back to the bedroom. Maria, in bed, holds up a glass of champagne.
Darling.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Oh, this is too much for a simple prison. Oh, my. Oh, wait, I... Wait,
in a passion of frenzy, Clouseau tries to rip off his clothes, but gives up and climbs into the bed.
Oh, my darling. Oh, you beautiful, wonderful. Wait a minute.
The bedroom door handle begins to move, the door inches open, and Cato's inscrutable face appears round it. He sneaks in, then jumps.
Mortens!
Cato lands on the lovers, and a tangled struggle ensues as he sets about them. Maria, sandwiched between the writhing combatants, grabs a pillow and hits out at Cato. Feathers spew everywhere. Clouseau, straddling Cato, bends his leg and bites his foot. Maria smashes a bottle on Cato's head. Cato collapses.
Don't worry, my darling. Cato, it's only Cato. Poor fool.
Clouseau drags Cato out of the bedroom via his legs, and Cato's head hits every step. Clouseau pulls him past the ticking clock, dumps him in the bathroom, and runs post-haste back to the bedroom. The clock is on the verge of striking three as Clouseau whips off his shoes and clambers back under the bedclothes.
Dad, oh, Mark! I killed him!
Well, you didn't. He's all right, my darling. It's nothing to worry. Nothing can happen to us now. Nothing can disturb us.
The bed flies in the air and the ceiling collapses. Dreyfus reads the front page of Le Figaro.
Trail of death follows Inspector Clouseau.
Clouseau stands waiting.
Four people. A doorman, two customers, and a Cossack.
Most regrettable.
Regrettable? Including the Ballon murders, this brings the grand total to eight.
Well, that just goes to prove what I have said all along.
Dreyfus rips up the paper.
What you've said all along, Clouseau, qualifies you as the greatest prophet since General Custer said he was going to surround all those Indians.
Maria Gambrelli did not kill those four people.
Which four people?
The last four people. Someone else killed those four people. I was with her all the time. And whoever he is the same man who killed the first four people.
A doorman? A Cossack?
It's an innocent bystander. The murderer was after me. Fortunately, he missed.
Fortunately is not the word.
Nevertheless, it proves that my theory is correct. You see, because of some misguided loyalty, Maria Gambrelli will not divulge the name of her former love, and that man is so jealous he will kill rather than lose her.
Are you saying that this man, the man Maria Gambrelli is protecting, her former lover, killed eight people because he was jealous?
Insanely jealous.
So jealous he made it look like Maria Gambrelli was the murderer?
He's a madman, a psychotic.
What about the maid?
The maid?
Was he jealous of her too? He strangled her.
It's possible that his intended victim was a man and he made a mistake.
A mistake? In a nudist camp?
Nobody's perfect.
Idiot!
Sir.
Nincompoop!
Commissioner.
Lunatic!
I will have your murderer for you by tonight.
What?
I have a plan.
What sort of plan?
A plan that cannot possibly fail.
Clouseau winks conspiratorially, sending the commissioner's left eye into a blinking frenzy. Night, and Clouseau's mini draws up outside Le Château de la Tire Blanche. He steps out with Hercule. They look about.
Right, now, remember, at 8 o'clock sharp, you pull the master switch just as I am about to name the murderer.
I leave the lights off for 5 seconds.
It's not a second longer, just long enough for the murderer to leave the room. Understand? You're quite clear. Right, now we synchronize.
They hold up their wrists.
In 7 seconds, it will be precisely 2:43.
Clouseau gapes at Hercule.
2:43.
Your watch must have stopped. I've 7:46.
Yes. Yes, 7:46, yes.
No. Now it's nearly 7:47.
Oh, yes, all right, 7:47.
Are we synchronizing on 7:47?
That's what you said?
No, I said it was nearly. I've now, 10 seconds to 7:47.
I've got 10 seconds after 7:47.
Well, you'll have to put your watch back.
Yes, all right.
5 seconds.
Yes.
Four. Three. Two. One.
They press in unison.
Strange. The second hand is not moving. It's ticking.
It's moving now.
What? Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
plainly, Beth. I can see that it's moving now.
And now I have 7:47 and 23 seconds.
All right, let's synchronize on 7:47 and a half.
Five.
Four, three, two, one. Now.
My watch has stopped.
Your watch has stopped?
Remarkable coincidence. Stopped completely.
Look, take my watch.
But what about you?
Don't worry, I'll keep talking till the lights go out.
But we still won't be synchronized.
Yes, it'll be all right, don't worry. I'll find a way.
They walk in opposite directions around the same pillar. Clouseau goes to the front door. Hercule, going the other way, unknowingly passes the black-gloved figure, who's lurking in the shadows. The Ballons and the Chateau staff are assembled in the drawing room. Maurice shows Clouseau in.
Very kind of you. There's no need for you to stand. Please sit down.
Everyone obeys.
Now then, I expect you're wondering why I've asked you all here.
Well, whatever the reason, it's a damn nuisance. We usually have dinner at 9 o'clock, and you've brought everything to a standstill.
You will not be inconvenienced for long, Monsieur Ballon.
Clouseau spots an antique clock on the mantelpiece. The ornate dial reads 5 to 12.
Your clock has stopped, Monsieur Ballon.
Yes, but if you want to know the time, it's exactly 7:50.
You are slow, darling. It's 7:52.
No, my love. This watch has not lost a second since the day you gave it to me.
I didn't.
Ballon's face falls. Maurice steps forward.
I have 7:55, monsieur.
That is what I have.
You're both fast.
No, my watch is right. I'll prove it.
Ballon picks up the phone.
Would you tell me the right time, please? 7:54. Thank you. Yes? Oh, it's for you, Inspector.
Ah, it's for me.
Clouseau strides proudly to the phone. Hercule, on the other end, is in the basement by the power supply.
Yes?
What time is it?
What?
Your watch has stopped.
Where are you?
I'm down in the basement. I had the operator call this number. What do? I can't pull the switch at 8 o'clock if I don't know what time it is.
It's, 7:54.
You're 55 now.
55 now, yes.
I just realized something. I still want to know when it's 8 o'clock.
Can't.
What?
Can't.
Oh, can't. You mean seconds?
Yes, that is exactly what I mean. And don't dare call me here again.
He slams down the phone, trapping his finger.
Now then.
Clouseau hooks his foot round the lead, pulling the phone from the table. Maurice tries to assist. But Clouseau, all arms, gets them both caught up in the wire. Ballon watches their fumbling impassively. Extracting himself, Clouseau walks forward, turns on Maurice threateningly, then, poker-faced, addresses the assembled company.
Now then, I will tell you why I've called you all here tonight. One of you is a murderer.
A shifty sideways look is passed from person to person round the room. Clouseau's eyes quiver.
6:37.
Hercule is still by the main switch.
Before I name the killer, I will explain to you the facts that led me to discover his or her.
Clouseau stops and goes suspiciously to the drawing room double doors. He listens, then snaps one open dramatically and looks through. Closing the open door, he leans back against the two of them.
Now then, the night the show...
They open slowly and Clouseau rolls backwards onto the floor. He springs up alert, salvaging his dignity.
The night the chauffeur was killed, what was the chauffeur's name?
Miguel.
Miguel. Well, this Italian.
Well, he was a Spaniard.
Clouseau nods.
Well, this Spaniard, Ingrid, he was furious with Maria Gambrelli. He tore her dress off. He protested violently. And then...
My foot!
Oh, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. I did not notice him. Excuse me. He tore her dress off. And at that precise moment, the door opened.
And somebody shot him. Now, Maria could not see who the killer was because she was unconscious. And the reason that she was unconscious was that she had received a bump upon the head.
A what?
A bump. Now, there is only one way that she could have received a bump like that. She was hit upon the head by an object. And the object was the knob on the closet door. Somebody was hiding in that closet. And when they opened the door, she received a bump upon the head.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Inspector, come to the point.
Don't tangle words with...
Ow! You
Madame Ballon's foot, bending Clouseau tips up a table. Then bumps heads with Ballon. Concussed, Clouseau falls over Maurice, who's picking up the table.
My darling. My darling.
Maurice raises a karate chop hand to Clouseau.
Oh. Careful, monsieur, with me. Do not tangle with me. I'm a trained expert in karate. My hands are lethal weapons.
Clouseau perches on the sofa. As he speaks, he starts to roll backwards off the end.
Marvin. There is something that I am very interested to know. This room looks very... What happened? What?
You fell off the sofa, you stupid...
I know I fell off the sofa, madame. There's no need to tell me. Everything I do is carefully planned, madame. I know that.
Maurice is rearranging the table.
What was I saying? Listen, you daydreaming fool. What are you doing there? I mean, can't you pay attention when I'm talking? Don't you know what I was saying? You're not listening to me.
With the greatest respect, monsieur, I heard every word that you said.
Will you be kind enough to tell me what it was that I said?
You were talking about the closet, monsieur.
Yes?
You were saying that when the closet door was opened, Maria received a bump on the head, and from that you inferred that someone had been hiding in
yes,
the closet,
she
monsieur.
She received a bump on... And listen, monsieur, next time I may test you without warning. So pay attention at all times.
Yes, monsieur.
Now then. Whoever was in that closet, opened the door and knocked Maria unconscious. And whoever the man was that was in that closet had a reason to be in that closet.
How do you know it was a man?
Because we found his fingerprints, Monsieur Ballon. And they were your fingerprints.
Well, why not? It's my house. I've often been in that closet.
For what reason?
Last time was moths.
Moths?
Moths.
Yes, moths.
Maria was complaining of moths.
Moths? Is that right, Maria, that you were complaining about these moths?
Yes, I did complain about moths.
Oh, you mean moths? Oh, you're the flying nurse.
Yes.
Yes, of course, of course, of course. No, but what I do not understand is that in a household of this size, that the question of moths should be brought to the attention of Monsieur Ballon, not one of the servants or the local moth exterminator. However, for the moment, we will pass over that, and we will continue to concentrate on another type of local exterminator.
Outside, the black-coated figure moves cautiously towards Clouseau's mini. In his gloved hand is a bomb made from numerous sticks of dynamite. He places it under the bonnet of the car. The camera moves up to identify the figure. It's Dreyfus, his eye winking manically. Hercule.
212, 213, 214.
Maria Gimbrelli, even though she now realizes it was a mistake, is not the sort of a woman to have an affair with a man and then expose him. And we cannot condemn her because she does not believe this man was a killer. But this man was not only a killer. He was an unprincipled villain who would rather see Maria Gambrelli go to the guillotine than lose her to another man. He was hiding in the closet when she came into the room with the Spaniard. He opened the door, shot the Spaniard, and put the gun in Maria's hand.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Benjamin.
I think...
Shut up!
You have something to say, Monsieur Benoit?
He has nothing to say.
No, but she has. Why don't you ask her? How dare you? She was having an affair with my husband. Liar!
You are a fine one to talk. Your husband was having an affair with my wife.
Liar! Thank you, Pierre. What about you? What about you and Simon?
Oh, no.
What about you and Georges? Liar!
Ah, you killed him.
What?
I saw you go to the greenhouse before Maria.
He's crazy. Why should I kill Georges?
Because you were having an affair with him.
I should kill him for that. You what? Killed him because you knew he was carrying on with another
Maria. What about you? I saw you kill Didu.
Liar!
I saw you.
Insane! Why should I kill Didu?
Because you discovered that she was having an affair with Pierre.
That's not true.
She told me.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Of course she told you, because you and Dudu were blackmailing the madame.
You liar.
She told me. She saw madame kill Miguel.
Shut up!
That's not possible.
What is that? What?
George told me he saw Monsieur Baron climbing out of Maria's window right after the shooting.
Well, I didn't kill him. I was the one in the closet.
Oh,
my wife expected to find me with Maria and shot Miguel by accident. I put the gun in Maria's hand to protect my wife.
I arrest you for putting the gun in Maria's hand.
Oh, you keep out of this.
You self-righteous hypocrite, you poor man. What about Henri?
Well, what about Henri?
You killed him.
Why should I kill him?
I saw you put the gun. Shut up! I saw you put the gun, drag his body into Maria's room. Oh, it was you. Yes, it was.
Madame Ballon stamps Clouseau's foot. Maria rushes to him. Everyone's pushing and pulling each other. Hercule clutches the power supply lever.
298, 299.
Under the cover of darkness, the guilty six, Monsieur and Madame Ballon, Maurice and the three other servants, rush to Clouseau's mini, jockeying each other for a seat. After much shoving, all manage to clamber in. Dreyfus runs from the bushes, horrified. The mini drives off.
Oh, oh, come back, you fools! Come back! Pluto! Stop them!
Stop them!
What? The bomb!
The what?
The bomb?
Grabbing Clouseau.
It was meant for you.
What do you mean it was meant for me, Commissioner?
Doorman, two customers on the Cossack, and now... six more innocent people.
They were all murderers except Maurice, who was a blackmailer, Commissioner.
Compared with you, they were all saints.
Commissioner, please, what are you doing?
I hate you, Clouseau.
Commissioner, please.
I hate you.
Commissioner, what are you doing to me?
Dreyfus gnaws Clouseau's leg.
Let, Commissioner, let go of my leg. Yes. Hercule! Get him off me, Commissioner.
Hercule drags the Commissioner off. Dreyfus goes for his leg.
Commissioner. Ah, Commissioner!
As Clouseau karate chops thin air, Hercule manages to drag the rabid commissioner away. Dreyfus, gloved hand outstretched, strains to get back at Clouseau. Hercule hauls him inside as Maria rushes out. She approaches Clouseau tenderly.
Jacques. Jacques?
Hmm?
Are you all right?
It's all over now, darling. You're free.
They stare into each other's eyes before pressing their lips in a passionate kiss. Cato lurks behind an ornamental plant pot, watching. They break apart. Cato jumps on them, and they all tumble backwards into the fountain, struggling in frenzied watery combat. The end. ITFC audio description, Jim Apted.